This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine on this very sunny, gorgeous Saturday morning. It's about 10:17 or so. It's about 14 or 15 degrees. Who knows? The thermometer's not working in the studio. We'll find out shortly.
It's about 35 in here, Tad. It's hot.
You could take off a layer, of course.
I meant the talent is hot.
Our very first guest this morning is the wonderful Lord Mayor of Melbourne, Sally Cabb. Good morning to you, Sally.
Good morning, Tass. Good morning, Janet and Lisa as well.
Morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the airwaves, Sally. Mac is, of course, on leave. He's overseas. He might be in transit or he might be at home listening. Who knows? But I'm sure he also sends you his warmest regards. So how are you doing? What's hot in your department today?
Well, we are firstly absolutely loving this glorious weather. And, of course, we've all got to change our clocks this weekend. And I think that really signals that sense of spring and rejuvenation. And we're certainly feeling that energy around town. Last weekend, Tess, we had the biggest grand final crowd in the city ever.
Yes.
It was absolutely heaving. And we're now set up for a frenetic level of activity, particularly events across October.
I heard mixed reports about the parade itself. What were your reflections on the parade, Sally?
Well, I thought it was really brave to new, particularly after 2 years of not having the grand final in Melbourne. And I think that people sort of expect you to deliver something new these days as they come back to some of their old favourites. So it was certainly worth a try. I know there were some disappointed people, but it did create a bit of a buzz. The normal parade through the streets was absolutely jam-packed. And, of course, Yarra Park was really going off. So I think as that lead into the grand final, it continues to be something really well supported and very popular.
So, wow. Sally, do you think you'll circle back to the traditional grand final parade in 2023? Is that the thought?
Yeah, well, look, ultimately it's up to the AFL, but I know they've received lots of feedback, and I think one of the headlines was an honourable attempt. It was certainly worth a try, and I think they'll rethink.
What were the crowds like in terms of the visitation into the city that day?
Yeah, well, of course, over 100,000 people actually in the G.
Wow.
But the crowds that we saw in the streets were extraordinary. On South Bank, the foot traffic that evening was at 182% of 2019 levels, same weekend. So really extraordinary. That was the highest footfall, but right across the city, well over 100% of what we experienced in 2019. So those weekend crowds now, those nighttime crowds, I think it's been 10 weekends in a row, are now well above those 2019 levels. And that visitor economy is really thriving.
Sally, I was in the CBD last night for dinner, and we trammed it in because, you know, it's always hard to park, and if you have a drink, you don't want to be driving. I was actually quite surprised at how buzzy the city was. There were people everywhere. It was actually, it felt like being back in a normal city again.
But is that,
oh, that's lovely.
Is that translating, Sally, into sort of economic activity during the week? Because obviously at night time it feels great. But how's it going, you know, because I know a lot of people who still haven't returned to their offices in the CBD or are only returning a couple of days a week. How are the traders going during the week?
Yeah, look, it remains our big challenge. And I think flexible working mean, in terms of work in the future, it's really one of the big debates happening around the world in cities at the moment. For us, the average activity over the week is at about 80% of pre-pandemic levels.
Wow.
But our lowest day is Mondays. We're still at about 35% of pre-pandemic foot traffic. And I think, you know, we are starting to see the new rhythm in the city emerge, with Wednesdays and Thursdays our strongest days. They're like our old Thursdays and Fridays. When there are big events on in the city, Fridays are very popular, and Tuesdays are now in around the 75%. So we are starting to see, as I said, that new rhythm emerging. And for our traders, it is difficult, but the most difficult thing is the uncertainty. On some days, they're throwing food away, and on other days, they don't have enough food. Some days for retailers, they don't have enough staff. Other days, they've got staff sort of hanging around. So I think we really want to transition to that new groove as quickly as possible. And for us, that's the main focus.
Lisa?
So, Sally, I noticed there was a bit of press this morning about the Labor government sort of drafting a plan to have a four-day work week. How would that affect the CBD in terms of, you know, because you just mentioned that Monday is challenging. Yeah. I can imagine if you had a choice about working 4 days, you're probably going to take a Monday or a Friday off.
Mm. Well, I'm running with a policy of 7 days. I'm not getting too far with that. But look, I think
Sally, some of us work 7 days a week without even choosing to.
And not even with pay.
That's very true. Very true. As I said, I think the really big thing is the certainty. Private sector, small business owners, they can really adapt once there's a level of certainty about what that new rhythm is. If the state government's going to pursue a four-day a week, I think the city will adjust accordingly. It doesn't tend to be the trend that we're seeing, because if it's a four-day work week, what we'll see is that the extra day will become more of a visitor day. So if Monday's not a work day, there are plenty of the tourism and art galleries and institutions around town that will really quickly move into offering special things for visitors.
I guess the challenge is the uncertainty, though, isn't it? Because I think when they're talking about a four-day work week, it'll be up to you as to which day you don't work. So, you know, I guess for the purposes of something like the City of Melbourne, if everybody had Monday off, then you'd be driving traffic into the city to see, as you say, galleries. But if it's uncertain as to what day people would take off, it's sort of diluting the working week across the whole 5 days.
It does make it challenging, and as I agree completely, it's the uncertainty. Having said that, if it means that the average over the 5 day week, working week, is at 80%, then we can adjust as well. So it's about a more nuanced discussion than ever before happening in workplaces around Melbourne. It's type of work, type of workforce, a type of culture, which type of relationships you want to have with your clients. So all of these conversations are underway, and it's about adjusting as quickly as we can.
So we're interested in hearing from our Joy listeners, and you can text and join in this conversation by texting us on 0427 569 949. That's 0427 Joy 949.
So, Sally, I was interested in the Roan exhibition that's starting soon in, of course, right in the centre of the City of Melbourne. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, absolutely spectacular. I can't wait. It sounds like it will be breathtaking, and Roan does everything in not just the most imaginative, creative ways, but at scale. And to take that whole level of the Flinders Street Station, spaces that we don't normally get to experience, I think it's going to be absolutely spectacular. And it really underpins the breadth of things that are on offer in Melbourne over October.
I can't wait. I remember seeing the recent Patricia Piccinini exhibition, which was fantastic. So Rona's work's really good, so I can't wait.
The Patricia Piccinini exhibition was just, you know, that whole floor was fantastic.
No, it was like an immersion, wasn't it? And in this beautiful historical space. Sally, can I take you back a little bit back into the CBD? Because one of the topical issues that's been floating about in the last week has been the reintroduction of footpath trading fees. Needless to say, that's been met with mixed response. It's probably a fair thing to say. But tell us a bit about that and what's going on there.
Well, we have been waiving outdoor dining and parklet fees for over 2 years now, of course, recognising the very difficult experience that many small traders have had as a result of the pandemic, but also really encouraging people to make the most of those outdoor areas for health reasons as well. It's worked brilliantly with the expansion of outdoor dining. And we've just spoken about foot traffic coming back on weekends and evenings. It can be patchy during the week, but we've made a decision that it is time to start getting back to normal in terms of charging our outdoor dining fees, parklet fees, which is where they've taken up car parking spaces on our streets, only come back at 50%. And for some areas like Docklands that have been particularly impacted, no fees at all still. And we have started a new hardship policy. So for those traders that are still really feeling the effects of the uncertain times we're in, then we can talk to them about ongoing support. But we decided that given the very positive experience we're having in the city and that sense of getting back to normality, that it was time to get back to normal on our fees as well.
So you've had a proper strategy around this. It's not like a blanket reintroduction, you know, cop it and pay for it. It's been, you've considered this very carefully.
Yes, Pat, thank you. And it's actually been an ongoing discussion with all of our outdoor dining venue operators, because it started in October 2020 and we've really reviewed it every 6 months just to see where everybody's at. And the great news is the majority of traders said, yep, we get it. It is time to get back to normal. And they've really appreciated the 2 years of support they've had. The other side of the argument is that, you know, we've got almost 10,000 hospitality businesses in the city. Only about 1,300 of them are able to have outdoor dining for logistic reasons. And you know, whether they wanted to have outdoor dining as an option. So a number of our other traders say, well, you know, you've given unbelievable support to outdoor dining for more than 2 years now, and we'd love it if you were spending some of that money on initiatives that help all of us.
Sally, we've got a text just in at the moment who says, I won't say who it is, obviously.
It's from John.
John says, no, I'm happy with 2 days in the office. Why would I pay a fortune for coffee, lunch and news late and a overpacked tram? Seems a little...
Oh, I love thinking that the tram is overpacked. That sounds good. we're still trying to get people on public transport.
Well, I thought they were packed last night, actually, going into town good. And coming back home again. And we must have hit home at about 10:30 or 11, and it was standing room only.
And travelling in midweek, I've got to admit, so I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday last week, I was at a forum at the Victorian Women's Centre, and they had the tram was pretty full at 9 and at 5. So, you know, back to not quite the standing room only kind of tram trips of the olden days, but much better than it has been for a number of years.
Sally, go on. We have another message, Sally. Oh, we have a message from Sean, who says, could you please ask Sally about the homeless in the CBD? It's very confronting and not a good look. What do you have to say to Sean, Sally?
Yeah, Sean, I absolutely agree. We all, particularly as we go into the state election, need to be saying to our state and federal government representatives that a focus has to be on delivering more social and affordable housing. It was a crisis pre-COVID. It remains a crisis. I recognise that the state government and the new federal government are putting more money into this now. And so it's about accelerating every effort to deliver more housing. And look, when people do have somewhere safe to sleep every night, they're then more able to benefit from support services, whether it's to do with mental health, whether it's to do with helping get back into employment, whether it's to deal with domestic violence issues, financial issues. It really starts with having a safe place to sleep every night. We have seen a reduction in the number of people rough sleeping in the city, but whenever we see somebody in those incredibly vulnerable circumstances, it's really confronting.
Yes, I think we all feel pretty sad about this whole situation, this whole scenario. Certainly where I live here in St Kilda, I'm always confronted by homelessness on the streets. There is no single magic bullet, I'm afraid. I think it requires effort across government and different sectors to work collaboratively to find a solution to dealing with homelessness. Sally,
and it was one of the silver linings, sorry, Tass, COVID, is to see higher levels cooperation, and long may that continue.
Yes, so, I agree.
Still a challenge ahead, but we're better armed and working together to do something about it.
Sally, we're nearly out of time, but I've got two questions for you. Two questions.
Yes.
One, if I may, with a state election coming up, and you just reminded me of that, does Melbourne City Council, think through what their top priorities are and make a submission to state governments? And if so, what are the top two or three items in your submission?
Yes, we certainly do. And the top two items, one is the social and affordable housing issue that we just discussed and how we can deliver more housing more quickly. And the second one is to do with climate change and all efforts that we can do together to move towards our goals in the City of Melbourne of being powered 100% by renewable energy by 2030 and zero net emissions by 2040. There are some great projects underway, but again, we just have to move with urgency. And so they're our top two to state government.
And I think urgency on both of those matters is something that's required. And finally, Sally, what's on for the rest of your weekend?
Oh, absolutely jam-packed. I started with some of the Fringe Festival crew, so getting ready for the launch on Thursday. We are gearing up for Melbourne's Fashion Week, which starts next weekend as well. The Melbourne International Jazz Festival, I've just been looking through the program to start buying some tickets. I'll definitely be getting to Queen Victoria Market, as you know, Tass, one of my favourite places for yummy things to eat. And I'm planning a long lunch at D'Estasio's in the city on Sunday, and then joining the Seniors Festival at Fed Square in the afternoon.
Oh, as a participant or as a...
Taz will see you there.
Yeah, Taz will be there.
I look forward to seeing you there.
Sounds like a great weekend, Sally. And enjoy us, and thanks heaps for your time again.
Thanks for having me.
I know your office is in talk with our office about rescheduling and all that sort of stuff, but we'll work it through and look forward to seeing you back in here in person as soon as we can.
Same. Thank you, Tess.
Thank you, Sally.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye, Janet. Thank you. Bye.
That was Sally Capp, Melbourne's Lord Mayor. Great interview as always.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.